Authority is about your responsibilities more than it is about your rights. Where God grants a man authority, he always assigns to that man responsibility. So the goal here is to make you better leaders in your home. To lead your wives and your children well. To know how to pursue your mission. We need to learn to lead our households well because God told us to. He has made us leaders. And a leader that doesn't have anyone following him isn't much of a leader. It's been said that if you are leading and no one's following, then you're not actually leading, you're just going for a walk. And we don't want to just be guys who are wandering alone through life going on a walk. We want to learn the skills of manhood that God has called us to and take our place to help the generation that God has placed us in. So we want to develop our skill in leadership. No one is born great at leadership. We are born sinners. We're not born great leaders. We are born sinners, which means we all have a battle in learning self-control, wisdom, growing in maturity, learning the skills and the convictions that we need. So these evenings are designed to give you insight and pieces that you need to develop in this area of leadership. And tonight we're going to talk about leading our wives. So if you're married, this obviously pertains to you. And a lot of you young men that are here will be married one day, the Lord willing. And these are skills you're going to have to learn. And believe me, it's going to catch you off guard, as it did me. So we're going to look at 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, 7. If you got your Bibles, turn there and just kind of keep it open there. It says this: husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Our Father, as we look at your word now, Lord, it is our desire to be better men, to be better leaders, to love our lives well, to conform our lives to your word. I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts tonight, that this would be the desire of every man here, to be a godly leader in his home with whatever you have given him. Father, would you stir us to love and good deeds? Would you open our hearts to receive it and to rejoice in your calling on our lives? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've said before, women can be confusing. There was a few, that's an amen right there. You live with one for a while and you're going to find yourself confused. But note here that the Bible does not say that you have to understand her. It says you have to live with her in an understanding way. That's different. That's actually true. Those are not the same thing. The reality is that men and women do think differently from each other, and that's because God has assigned different roles to each gender. And he's equipped each one with what they need to accomplish their tasks. Now, there's a lot of overlap, of course, where men and women are going to think the same, and they have same things that they have to do. There's a lot of overlap, but there are things that are right and different. It's a good thing. As the man said, the gender differences are a feature, not a bug. It is a good thing that we are different. And you'd think that would be obvious. It's good that we're different. And yet, for a lot of us, we find it frustrating the way our wives think, which means we haven't quite understood the feature yet. And we still think maybe there's a bit of a bug. So women can be confusing, but the opposite is also true. Women don't always understand men, right? And in the context of marriage, the struggle for women to deal with the confusion of her husband, God provides help in the form of the command to submit to him. She will often be confused. I don't understand or quite like what's going on here. What do I do? And God says, wife, you are called to submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ. So she doesn't have to understand you and everything either. But the wife does have to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. So that means that God has given women this instruction to help them to know what to do. When there's tension, when there's confusion, there's difficulty. Now, on the flip side of it, what we're talking about tonight, the Bible also gives men instruction on how to deal with this issue of living with someone who can confuse you. But it's not through submission, it's through understanding. He gives each gender a task. There's a relationship here. And wives, to help that relationship go, you were called to submit to your husband. Husbands, to make that relationship go, you are called to live with her in an understanding way. So your authority to lead is balanced with the command to love your wife, to live with her in an understanding way. You've been given authority. And the Bible doesn't emphasize your rights then as one with authority, but it emphasizes your responsibilities. That is where the light shines the most. Yes, you do have rights, if you want to put it that way, but the Bible highlights your responsibilities. You are called to something, to live with her in an understanding way and to honor her. There's always responsibility given when authority is granted. So authority is not talked about very much in terms of being the boss. It's talked about in terms of being responsible. To lay down your life for her as Christ laid down his life for the church. That's the responsibility that the Bible emphasizes in your authority as a husband. So, husbands, you are then responsible before God to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And you are responsible to lead her in an understanding way and to honor her. Now, that's a tall order. And we are going to have to give an account to God for how we did that. Many of us, if we hear the command to love our wives, we can say, yeah, I think I'm doing okay, or I'm trying, or you know, I do love her, and I try to tell her that, and that's all good. But you know that the Bible also says you are to honor her. Now, that's a little bit different. Men know quite well what honor is. There's a deep instinct in men to understand respect, to understand honor. You know when you are honoring somebody and you go out of your way to show them honor. Men instinctively know that. And God says, as the weaker vessel, your wife is to have your honor upon her. So you're responsible for all that happens under your authority. You have been given authority in your household. With that comes responsibility. And if you then make decisions that cause her difficulty, as you will from time to time, you had better be sure that you're doing that for a good reason and you are keenly aware of the burden you are placing upon her shoulders. You will have to make decisions that are tough sometimes, and your wife may not always understand it, and she's called to submit to you. All of that is true. And on the flip side, you are called to be keenly aware of the burden you are just putting on her shoulders by making that difficult decision. And we want to talk about that today. What does that mean to live with her in this understanding way? And if I could just summarize it as simply as I can, it means that you take responsibility in a way that includes her rights as a woman. You take responsibility in a way that includes her rights as a woman. She has a right to be one, to think like one, to feel like one, and to act like one. God has said so. And he says, husbands, you need to understand that. I have made her a certain way. I have called her to be a certain way. And you are to honor that. She has a right to be a woman. You don't get to lead apart from that consideration. You are to lead and you are to honor her as a woman as you do. So as husbands, we are bound to the word of God to this end, that we honor our wives, knowing that they have weaknesses that we don't have. And we are therefore to be gentle in how we lead them. We ought never to take advantage of a woman's weakness, which is so easy to do when you're stronger than she is, right? God will defend her. And in that verse that we read, it says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You may find that you have made God your opponent if he has to stand in as the protector of your wife, because you won't do it. says, honor her. Understanding way that she is the weaker vessel. Treat her with that honor in order that your prayers may not be hindered. Meaning if you do not honor her in those weaknesses that she has, that has been built into her as a woman, you might find heaven shut up to your prayers. And you wonder why heaven is silent and God's not answering you. This is actually a good area of examination in your life. How are you treating her? Are you living with her in an understanding way? Does God have to move in as her protector because the man that he placed in her life is not protecting her? You may find your prayers hindered. Now, this is awfully serious, isn't it? Well, it is. That should temper us. That should make us think carefully about our leadership. If God has said, tend to her gently, men, understanding that she is the weaker vessel, show honor to her. And if you don't, if you abuse that authority that I have given you, you don't take your responsibility seriously, you might find me standing against you. And heaven's windows are shut against your prayers. So we should take it seriously. God has put a consequence in his word for those who don't work at this and who abuse the authority that they've been given. So, obviously, then we want to know, what are we to understand and honor? So what does that mean? We want to get practical and lay some things out here. It's complicated, but I'm going to give you three areas where you can start, where you need to hold in an understanding way these things that God has built into women. Three things that you are to honor in your wife as the weaker vessel. The first one, we are to understand and honor the fact that women are generally weaker physically than men. Now, let's not get bogged down in the exceptions. That comes up right away. So I had a cousin, Naomi, in Paraguay. Wow. You did not want to get in front of her way. I saw her take like a calf. It was that big, just over her shoulders, and she was just, Naomi, she was powerful. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Naomi. But she was great. Okay, I could tell you more stories about my cousin Naomi, but I don't want to get on her bad side either. As part of the created order, God has generally made men stronger than women. And God has looked the men square in the eyes and said, son, you honor that weakness in her. You honor that weakness in her. It's not something that you just put up with or roll your eyes at or wish was different. God says, you honor that weakness. You are to carry the brunt of the hard work, the physical output, the blood, the sweat, and the tears. And that doesn't mean, of course, that she shouldn't work hard. Of course not. But generally speaking, you should be working harder, sweating more, not just building a future, but protecting her as well. If someone breaks into the house, of course, I hope you know that it has to be you to go and confront the intruder. A couple of months ago, Marcel and I took in a homeless drug addict couple for a number of weeks, and we had a couple of good adventures with them. They've moved on now. I think he's in Toronto, and I think she's still in town here, but we've lost contact. But they were at our place for a number of weeks. And just a couple of weeks ago, this was a few months ago now, just a couple of weeks ago, Marcella couldn't sleep one night. I was in bed. She was in the living room. She comes running into the bedroom. It's the middle of the night. It's 1, 2 in the morning, whatever it is. And she wakes me up and says, I heard somebody outside, and then I heard the front door open. Somebody's in the house. Now, what did I say to her?
Check it out.
Go check it out, woman. What are you waking me up for? Go find out who it is. I tell you what, I had been dead asleep, and in half a second, I was roaring down that hallway in nothing but my boxers, like a muskox, bellowing at the top of my lungs, because she had been in the living room, which means she was 10 feet away from the door. Now it's another 20 feet away. She was closer to danger than I was. And I was like, oh, no, you don't, right? And I went blasting out there. And it was this guy. He was looking for a place to stay. He was trying to get in the house. And we had a bit of a confrontation. He and I had to send him on his way. But there was no danger in that respect. But I had to send him packing. And And not that I couldn't let him in that night. But there was the moment when she woke me up, and I tell you, did I ever fire up in half a second. And I went roaring out there in the snow in my bare feet, and I found him in the back of the house trying to get in. And so we had a frank exchange of ideas, and he slept somewhere else that night. And he didn't get in the house. She had just heard him, I should say, he had just opened the storm door, and he was trying to get in to the next door, but she thought he had opened the door, and he was already in the house. So I was already assuming he's in the house, like he's already, right? I might meet him up in the hall. He opened the door to the storm. That's right. You call down the thunder, boy. Now the thunder has come. Yeah, there I am in my beard and my boxers. Ready. I was ready. Boy, I was fired up. I didn't sleep the rest of that night. just me and the boxers. That was enough to send him running. It really stirred in my heart, though, after he was gone and we were just talking. And then I was going to go back to bed. She was going to read some more. And I remember it was emotional and I was stirred because I had thought genuinely she was in danger and she wasn't, it was all fine. But in that moment, I walked up to her and I kissed her hand and I said, "You're safe here. You're safe here." And she said, "I know." And then the night was peaceful. That's your job, men. That's the job. How did you know about my SpongeBob script? So you do not look down on your wife because she is not as physically strong as you. She's not supposed to be. Do not begrudge her womanhood. She is allowed to be weaker. She is allowed to break down before you do. And if you keep leading at that breakneck pace when she is already breaking down, you'd better stop and rethink what you're doing. You may be able to go further, but perhaps she can't. And you have to take her limits into consideration, not in bitterness or a rolling of the eyes or in frustration. God says you are to honor that weakness. That's a different response, isn't it? So it's never just you, it's both of you. It's never, ever just Chad. It's Chad and Marcella. We are one flesh. We will always be one. And so it's always we. It's us. And I need to take her weaknesses into account, not in frustration, but in honor. Now, that can, of course, get very complicated. I know there's some questions, and I'm hoping we can get to some stuff as we move forward. But the second one, we are to understand and honor the fact that women tend to be more emotional. Chances are good that your wife is more emotional than you are. Women tend to be far more emotional, and that can be a real frustration when you don't understand. I tell you the story in our first year of marriage when Marcella was crying all the time. I'm not sure if I did. Okay, I'll tell you again. It doesn't matter. It's a quick story. First year of marriage, Marcella cried a lot during the night. Wives seem to do this a lot. I don't know why. And I didn't understand. I'd say, "Why are you crying?" And she goes, "I don't know. I just need to cry." And I was like, "Well, stop crying. Like, if you don't even know why, like, what are you doing?" Right? And I was like, "I got to go to work in the morning," and I was frustrated. And she says, "You have to just let me cry. You have to let me cry." I'm like, "Okay, fine. I'll be a good husband. I will let you cry." So next time at 2 in the morning, the bed starts shaking. She's crying, right? I'm like, "Oh, here we go. I know what to do." She told me to let her cry. So I went to the living room, turned the lights on, put on a Waylon Jennings cassette, cranked it up. It's like, "I'll let her cry herself out. I'll turn it loud enough so I don't have to hear her. And we'll listen to a few songs. And when she settles down, I'll go back to bed. I'm a good husband." 20 seconds later, she came around the corner. "Don't you love me anymore?" Like, what do you think I'm doing? Right? Like, I want to be in bed asleep because I got to go to work in the morning, but I'm not, am I? I'm sitting here patiently, right? She goes, "Like, I said, you told me to let you cry." She goes, "I meant that you were supposed to hold me and comfort me while I cried." Like, "Oh, well, you didn't say that." Right? "I didn't know that's what you meant. I had no understanding." We worked it out. We're still together. It's good. It's good. But those types of things happen. I didn't understand her emotions. And I wasn't living with her in an understanding way. So, that emotional part is how God has made them. Now, of course, they have to learn to control their emotions. I'm hoping to do a session with the women this season yet on how to control emotions, the proper use and place of them, that matters. But that aside, your wife is generally more in tune with her emotions than you are. She tends to have nuance in areas that you may not, and that should not be a source of frustration. God gave them to her. They have a purpose, and she will do things to the glory of God with her emotions that would never occur to you. They are a gift, and you are to encourage her to cultivate that gift of femininity that she has. So do you bless your wife in her emotions? Do you encourage her? Or is it a source of frustration? Do you roll your eyes at it, go to the other room like I did, and just want her to get over it? Tell her to toughen up. Now, it might be true that she needs toughening up. That's entirely true. I know that can often be the case. But then the question comes, how do you toughen up your wife if she's emotional? How do you do it? Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't treat her like a man. If I wanted to toughen you up, I might punch you in the shoulder and say, don't be a wuss. Come on. Let's get back out there. Let's go again. Let's go again. I'll be with you. Don't do that to your wife. It will toughen her up, but not in the way that you're hoping. So many men treat their wife like they would treat a man, and then they are dismayed when she acts more like a man than a woman. You've toughened her up and taught her to think like a man and to be ashamed of her emotions, her weakness. Treat her like you would treat a man. We've said this before, and you will be dismayed that she doesn't want to act like a woman in bed. A woman, rather, is toughened up by your presence. Marcella wanted me to hold her. And your assurance. She is toughened up by your understanding way. That's how they are strengthened. A woman understands love as presence, as assurance, not as annoyance or cold shoulder or toughen up, smarten up. It's not your attitude, it's your understanding way. We need to be present, be protective, and assure them that you are with them. And the more she is assured of your real love, the stronger she will be, and she will amaze you with her toughness. The more she is convinced of your love, of your understanding way, the tougher she will be. Just like men respond, the more you are convinced that your wife respects you, the stronger you are, and the more you want to earn that respect even more and stand as a man. That respect means an awful lot. You know the difference if she says, I respect you, or if she's looking at you with those bright, shining eyes and says, wow, and is in awe of your strength. And a man just grows about 2 feet taller in that moment. Likewise, the woman, when she understands your love, your assurance, your presence, your understanding way, she toughens up in a feminine way. So we are called to honor her feminine emotions. She needs protecting. And not only must you protect her from the world, if an intruder comes knocking, you have to protect her from yourself, because you are stronger than she is in some ways. Your wife should be getting more feminine under your leadership, not less. Some women wilt because the husband is always being hard on her, snapping, impatient, wanting her to be tougher, not so like this and not so like that. She loses her femininity. And our wives should be becoming more feminine under our leadership, not less. Not weighed down with the burdens that you have placed on her. In value, she is your equal before the Lord. You are equal. And she has been given a special assignment from God. And God has said, son, guard that. Make it available to her. Guard that. I've given her a task. And you are to guard it. Make sure she flourishes as a woman, which means you don't treat her like a man. And as a bit of an aside, maybe one day we'll delve into this a little bit more too. That is the great lie of pornography. In pornography, the women pretend to think exactly like men. They act exactly like men, and they fulfill any fantasy a man might possibly have. And that is a lie, right from the pit of hell. Men watch that, and they go to their wife wanting her to act that way, She's not built that way. She's not supposed to think that way. And you have not honored her. And that frustration leads to just a world of heartache on both sides. Women are supposed to think like women, and men are to think like men. So you may not understand her emotions, but you are to live with her in an understanding way, to honor her differences. If you are making her cry, you'd better know what you're doing. That might happen sometimes. It might happen sometimes. But don't do it thoughtlessly, and don't do it harshly. I know there are questions there. I'm going to keep rolling. Third one. This third one is not a weakness. We're talking about honoring the weaknesses of men. This one is not a weakness in any way. But this is rather what God designed her weaknesses for. Those things we talked about, right? Those emotions, her physical weakness, that emotional frailty, if you want to use that word. That sounds more negative than I mean it. Why did God do that? Why did he make her this way? What's the point of making somebody weaker in certain areas? And the answer is to be stronger in others. So one reason why God made women this way is so that they can nurture and bring life to those under their care. Speaking in general terms, women desire that. And you have been given strength so you can provide and protect. You can give that to her. She can't do all of that herself. She needs you. She needs you to protect it and provide her with it. She has been given that characteristics, that femininity, so that she can love and nurture. And you need to honor her desire to nurture life, to make it grow and be beautiful. So in marriage, men need to understand and honor their wife's desire for children and family. Like I said, this is not a weakness. It should be the husband's desire as well. Children are a blessing. Hugely so. But generally speaking, when you get married, men have the stronger sex drive and women have the stronger baby drive. And God has put those two things together. And they're meant to go together. Each side should enjoy and desire both of them. But there is an emphasis that tends to come out. A woman is built for children, not just in soul, but in her very body. Her body is clearly designed for children, from her womb to her breasts. And generally speaking, she has a desire to nurture life, to be a mom. And we live in a world that makes fun of that and says it's not valuable. And it's demeaning, maybe, for women to have children or to want to be a mom. Everyone laughed at my little Jasmine when she said she wanted to be a mother in school. Look what grade she was in. She was small. And each of the kids were supposed to say, what do I want to be when I grow up? And she goes, I want to be a mom. And the room just burst out laughing. And Jasmine was like, was that wrong? Because that's what I want to be. The world laughs. And women can be beaten down in their quote-unquote weakness, to be ashamed of that, to be fearful of that, to pretend they don't actually want it, maybe. But generally speaking, God has built this into women. He's made their bodies that way. They know that. They're in tune with that emotion. They're in tune with their own bodies in ways that men often aren't. We are not to deny them what God has made them for, what God has made marriage for, the purpose of godly offspring. We are to honor that in them. So many men will have a higher sex drive. They want sex from their wives, but sometimes they do not want to give her children. Again, I keep using examples. I don't know what Marcella thinks of this, but when we first got married, Marcella wanted to have kids right away, and I didn't. I had guitars, you see. And she didn't understand that at all. I had a whole bunch of them. I'm like, baby, look, like 7 or 8 guitars here. Like, what would you want a baby for? I'm not saying that was a good argument on my part. But I didn't understand at all her desire for children. Like, well, come on, I'm playing in a band. Like, isn't that enough for you? And of course it wasn't. I was wrong. I was very wrong. It took me too long to learn. I wish someone had taught me, and I wish I had a heart to receive that instruction when I was younger. I didn't. But those things go together. Sex and children. And our society has separated them so far as to the point can cause a lot of difficulty in a marriage. So, exceptions notwithstanding, she has a right to children. And you have a responsibility to provide her and provide for them. Medical issues notwithstanding. Some people want to have children and they can't. That's a totally separate thing. Totally separate evening of conversation. These things happen. We live in a fallen world. Not everything is magic. You don't get everything you want either, and neither does she. We have to learn how to do it. But this desire for children is not a weakness. Children are a blessing. They are good. And God has designed her for them. And men who struggle with that need to live with her in an understanding way and honor that and learn to desire it themselves. It is so good. And God has given marriage for the purpose of God, the offspring, not for your own pleasure, not about your rights. It's about your responsibilities. You have rights. You do. But the Bible speaks far more about the responsibility than it does the right. So she generally desires children. Again, broadly speaking, men generally desire sex more. And God has put those two things together. Now, I'm not saying, just a quick little side, I'm not saying you have to have as many children as possible, or that all forms of family management is wrong. Like, not at all. There's much wisdom there that can be applied in each particular situation, in each family, between the husband and wife. And I'm not saying, I'm speaking in generalities here. Don't hear me saying that you got to go have as many children as you possibly can, and that's the only way to be faithful. That's not true. So those three ways are practical things that we can start to do as we consider how to live with our wives in an understanding way and to honor them as the weaker vessel. They are generally weaker physically. They are generally oriented towards more emotional connection and emotional responses. And they have a desire, not a weakness, a desire to nurture life through family and children. God's made them that way. It's a feature, not a bug. They are not damaged. That desire, those weaknesses, are not a result of the fall. They're not because of sin. God made them that way. They're not damaged. And we need to know that they are created that way. And we should not desire them to think more like we do and less like they do. We are called to honor those differences, not despise them. They are precious. So you ask yourself, do you lead in such a way as to consider the preciousness of those differences? Do you guard them in your wife? Do you even encourage them to flourish in that femininity, even when it might appear to be a negative weakness to you? Ah, that is tough. Now, one final note. As I've said, all of that, that's all true. You should take that to heart and think about it. But it is also true that you remain the head of your household, and you are not to allow your wife's weaknesses to run things. You have been given actual authority. You are not to allow your wife's weakness to run the show. You do need to be able to stand up to her when you need to, and that may happen, maybe not, but to know how to hold your ground. All of what I said is not to make you effeminate. It's not to make your main goal to ensure your wife's happiness. That's not your main goal. Right? They say happy wife, happy life, right? But that's wrong. Your main job is to please God and get on with the mission that he has given you in your life. You are the leader. And you must lead. But in order to be a leader that God approves of, you have to take her weaknesses into account and to honor them. And that requires wisdom and understanding. That's tough. Because each of you are going to be in a different situation. And you're going to have specific questions. How do I do it in this situation? Just like next week, I'm going to talk to the women about submission. And they don't understand necessarily what their man is trying to do and why he's trying to do it and what Moses might be. And God says, you submit to him and respect him. And we want to know, in my specific situation, how do I do this? And that's good. We should ask that question. So all of that is true, but you have to understand the authority that you have, the responsibility that comes. The responsibility is not just to honor your wife in her weaknesses, but you have a responsibility to lead. You should be going somewhere. You should be going somewhere, taking her somewhere, building your household, pouring your life out for those you love, building that next generation, having those godly offspring, right? We've said before, it's not just offspring that God wanted, but godly offspring. It's not just having babies. but training them, growing them. Anyway, there's a lot there. So taking her weakness into account does not mean letting her weaknesses or her sin lead. That's the challenge. We'll be talking to the women about that. It can be really difficult to discern sometimes. Is this just a feminine thing that I am to honor? Or has she turned to sin in how she is wielding that? Just like we can become sinful in how we wield our masculinity. That takes wisdom. That's why I said at the beginning, we need to learn and increase on our skills in becoming leaders. We're not born great leaders. We're born sinners. And we got to learn, right? We got to learn. We can put these principles out, but now you got to go back and figure out, how do I do that in this situation, in that situation? How do I honor it? And how do I lead, even if it's a struggle for her? What burdens do I put on her shoulder? Because there will be some, and it's good. She is not supposed to have a life of sunshine and roses. It's going to be hard for everybody, and that's okay. So a man who cannot stand up to his wife is failing in his duty. So do not take what I said to make you weak and fearful in your own home. That's not the answer. What I have said is to make you a better leader. It's never me. It's always we. It's not Chad. It's Chad and Marcella, one flesh. And this one flesh union has a capacity, has abilities, has limitations. This one flesh remains one. She is your own. She is your own body. She is you. You're always we, even if you're doing separate things. As the leader, you always have to keep that in mind. Marcella's not with me tonight. She's at home, and I'm here. We're not together, and yet it's still we. It's still we. She sent me off with a kiss and an encouragement, and she trusts me and believes in me. And that makes me so much better. So always remember, when the Bible talks about authority, it talks less about your rights and more about what you're responsible for. And the goal here is to make you better leaders as the months go on. We want to talk about more of this, how to be a better leader, how to sharpen those skills. How do you live with her in an understanding way? How do you treat your children? How do you discern these things? The goal is to be better leaders so that you don't have to fight with your wife for your rights, but to arrange your leadership so that you won't have to, that she follows happily, freely, with shining eyes as she looks up at you in awe. How great is that? When you know that she knows that you are her man and you're there for her, and she knows that she is safe with you in her femininity, in her weaknesses, and she can be a woman. You live with her in an understanding way, men, and then you lead her on to where you want to get to. Lead her to where the mission is, where you need to go in life. Live with her in an understanding way, and then lead her on. Love her well, and you will have all that you can wish for in a wife.